This morning, we're going to turn to Mark chapter 4, and I want to talk about the surprising seed. And how many of you know that there are certainly bad surprises in life, but there's also good surprises? Anyone ever had a good surprise? It's kind of coincidental. We just had a good surprise. Rebecca and I are just blessed by your gratitude. That was a good surprise. There are good surprises in life, and maybe you have seen before what Joe's going to put a video on the screen. That's just real quick. Something called elephant toothpaste. I don't know if you have anyone ever seen this before. If you put elephant toothpaste into YouTube, you're going to see a lot of different videos out there. It's a reaction that you see that is surprising, that is like exponential, that goes wild. And of course, there are adults that have taken this to stupid proportions. it's quite a bit of fun. Thank you, Joe. You see how it just skyrockets. It's elephant toothpaste. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to hear the words of Jesus. The City Harbor Church are helping people take next steps in following Jesus. Mark 4, also Matthew 13 and Luke 13. So Mark chapter 4, then Jesus said, "How can I show you what the kingdom of God is like? What story can I use to explain it? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The smallest seed you plant in the ground, or what would really be translated in English, a very small among the kernel seeds. But when planted, this seed grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, or the largest in your garden. It produces large branches, and the wild birds can make nests in its shade. That's what the kingdom of God is like." Jesus used many stories like this to teach the crowd God's message as much as they could understand. He always used stories to teach them. But when he and his followers were alone, Jesus explained everything to them. And thankfully, throughout the rest of the New Testament, we have more of the words from the disciples and more about their actions, so we can deduce what Jesus explained to them from how they responded. So, mustard is actually the most popular spice in the world today. And you see pictured there a mustard seed on a fingertip. And then you see a man in the Middle East who's still alive today standing next to a mustard bush or a mustard tree. There's a number of varieties, but most likely what Jesus was referring to was Salvadora parisica, which is an evergreen. It's classified as an evergreen because of the way that it grows, and it can grow 20 feet tall. It can thrive in environments that are particularly hostile to plants. The seeds are small and they grow large. Now, we're not 100% sure about what the average person knew at the time that Jesus said this, but we do know, and you can Google the research, what plants existed in its day. And in the day that Jesus walked the earth. And it doesn't have the smallest of all seeds, and it obviously isn't as big as a redwood tree. And so whether or not Jesus is saying something as an exaggeration so that it would be memorable because they knew this to be true, which Jesus did do that from time to time to communicate spiritual things, or what the classification, he uses language of classification to say, hey, this very small thing produces the biggest thing that's in your garden. And he's specifically referring to something that they would all know and use or would be used in family gatherings. And so again, it's a very hardy plant, but Jesus' emphasis, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's so small, and yet it grows to be the biggest thing in your garden. The kingdom of God is surprising. It's actually not limited to human logic or expectations. The kingdom of God is surprising. And most likely, his Jewish followers would have reminisced on a messianic prophecy that had a similar principle. Let's look at that. This is from Ezekiel chapter 17, verses 22 through 23. This is what the Lord God says. I myself will take a young branch from the top of a cedar tree, and I will plant it. I will cut off a small twig from the top of the tree's young branches, and I will plant it on a very high mountain. I will plant it on the high mountain of Israel. Then it will grow branches and give fruit and become a great cedar tree. Birds of every kind will build nests in it and live in the shelter of the tree's branches. Then all the trees in the countryside will know that I am the Lord. I bring down the high tree and make the low tree tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree grow. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. This is a prophecy of a Messiah, a little twig on a young branch that would grow huge, whose kingdom would come, who would have a Jewish ancestry, and whose kingdom would be life-giving, life-supporting. Multiple times throughout the scripture and from the teaching of Jesus, we get this imagery of trees and of birds, and birds that are provided for, that have shelter. And birds that need shelter are not birds of prey, right? We're talking about smaller birds, birds that there are predator birds who are looking out for them. So we see Jesus, and through this prophecy, this imagery of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God that will outgrow our expectation. Can you think about that? Jesus is teaching that though there may be small beginnings, though there may be things which humans evaluate to be tiny, to be little, to be insignificant, to be small, that the kingdom of God will not be limited by that. Instead, because of the essential characteristics, the DNA, what is in the seed, that the kingdom of God will outgrow our expectations. That's the characteristic. That's how we know. That's one of the elements. This week I was reading about this verse, this very short parable, from believers from the first 200 years after the New Testament. And I was overjoyed at the depth of theology, the wide-ranging ideas of different people that had Christian leaders of their day that had this. And I particularly liked this quote from Clement of Alexandria, who had been a pagan and found Jesus as Savior King and became a Christian teacher, a pioneer of Christian teaching. Clement of Alexandria, about this verse, wrote this: "From the tiny mustard seed, which resists infection and adversity, comes the magnificent tree of the boundless worldwide community of faith, offering its branches to the whole world." We've talked about recently the things that are going on in the movement of Jesus around the world. There is a thriving church in Iran. There's a thriving Christian church in China. We talked about our own network that has exploded in the last 3 years in Brazil. And I saw pictures this week of the conference I'm having this week in Brazil. God is doing something. The kingdom of God, the movement of Jesus, may be small in some things and grows into something that is surprising, that is life-giving, that is irresistible, that is victorious, because our God has no rival. Our God cannot be defeated. From a small group of Jesus followers that heard Jesus' words grew something that literally changed the world and the course of human history. And you are a part of it. So the kingdom of God will outgrow our expectation, and we also see within this an invitation to participation, and we should respond to that. So it outgrows our expectations, And we're invited to participate in it. You can't escape that from the teaching of Jesus. And in fact, Mark 4 is a little bit unique in the teachings of Jesus. Verses 1 through 34, and I would invite all of us in the next 2 weeks to spend some time reading and reflecting on Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 34. One of the things that we notice when we look at the original language is that we have multiple times where it says, and then he said. He said this, and then he said. We give the parable of the farmer, the sower scattering seed. We get the parable of the lamp. We get the parable of the growing seed. And we have the parable of the mustard seed, all in those 34 verses. And in between each one, it says, and then he said. And that would note that this is probably in one sitting, that all these parables, that what's so important when we look at the Bible is that we not take things out of context, that we understand who is talking, to whom are they talking, what is the context, what is the purpose of what's being said, and we let the Bible interpret the Bible first. Okay? That helps us avoid big mistakes. And in this case, if we want to do that, we want to read all 34 verses and look at all of those parables, which are all about the kingdom of God. So we see in the lamp that our activity is lifting up the light, letting people see the light. We see the growing seed. It's surprising. And we also see the parable of the sower. And Jesus actually explains this one within those 34 verses. And Jesus specifically says that our response as followers should be that we resist the temptation to quit the faith. Anyone gone through a challenge and been tempted to quit the faith? Jesus says we should resist the enemy's attack on what God has said. Deceptive narratives, you have a lot of things that attack. Don't let the desires for other things distract you from God's word. That's what Jesus says. He also says that we should be diligent to guard, to care for what God has said. And that the word of God brings about a fullness, a maturing, a growth, a completeness in us. Jesus explained the parables. He explained what he was saying. And we're humans. And we're humans with a human nature. We're humans with a human nature. Shakespeare and Hamlet. Through Hamlet says this, I could be bound in a nutshell and count myself the king of infinite space were it not that I have bad dreams. I could be bound in a nutshell, something so small, and count myself the king of infinite space. We have a human problem. We have a human nature. We have life experiences that seem contradictory. We have disappointments, discouragements, difficulties, diseases, evil in the world, good reasons to be discouraged. And yet Jesus calls us to not despair and brings to us a parable like this, that the kingdom of God is not limited to our expectations, that it grows big. God can bring growth inside of us that changes the world. I had a profound experience with this. You often hear me quote Ephesians 4, let the Holy Spirit make new your thinking and your attitudes. And I was praying through that one morning a couple of months ago, and this parable of the mustard seed hit me. Oh yeah! This is a part of my participating in the kingdom of God in small things, in things that I have been asked to do something about. See, you may not be the one who's been asked to do about something in the Middle East. You may not be the one who's been asked to do something about issues in Baltimore City, but you are the one who's been asked to do something about the small things. Yeah. And what's amazing is that when we participate, when we invite the Holy Spirit, when we interact with the Holy Spirit in small things, change happens inside of us. And then we are a different person. We carry the presence of God. I'm changed now, right? And when I interact with other people, surprising things can happen. Let's look at some scripture that I think will encourage us, because we can all participate in God's expanding kingdom by recognizing where God is at work in us, responding faithfully, and representing Jesus. So Jesus talks about faith the size of a mustard seed. Though something is very small, he's saying it's not about the size of your faith. It's about who your faith is in. I can be afraid of flying, but if I step on the plane, I'm going to end up at the destination. It's not the size of your faith. It's the God who is at work. There's a surprise. Think about this. In the midst of controversies and fighting, fussing about religious things, he says the kingdom of God is about a life of goodness, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when we let the Holy Spirit renew, make new our thoughts and our attitudes, our thinking, our evaluation, our emotions, when we invite the Holy Spirit into it, into us, when we invite the Holy Spirit's engagement into these moments when we have stinking thinking, in these moments when we have a bad attitude, in these moments where there is something dark, there is something negative that is wanting to take root, when we invite the Holy Spirit in, there is a change that occurs. God, shape me, mold me. Because God's the one who designed you. God's the one who loves you. God's the one who brings true fulfillment. When we say, God, shape me, mold me, make new, renew, wash, cleanse, redeem the way that I'm thinking, the way that I'm feeling. When we do that, there's a lift in our spirit. There's a change in who we are and how we interact with people. I've seen this. I've seen this in the real world. I've seen this in the way that Joe and Anna live. In the openness about this is what's going on, and this is how I invite God into it. And that's what's changed them. When they come to City Kids Fall Festival and the games and everything, they organize everything, they bring peace and joy that they cultivated into the moment. You think they didn't have hardship? Think they're going to have reason to be angry or bitter at God and people? When it's inviting God into that moment. The small. I've seen this in the life of Steve and Melinda. We talked with Melinda about a variety of things where she invites the Holy Spirit in to shape how she's thinking and feeling. And then every week with the youth ministry, she brings that into the room. I've seen that in so many of you. I want you to be encouraged today. Watch this. God began doing a good work in you, and I am sure he will continue it until it is finished when Jesus comes again. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. It's not all up to you. It's not all up to your ability to do the heavy lifting. No. It's not all up to you. It's God who does the work. It's God who does the heavy lifting. It's just bringing yourself constantly back into an interaction with God. That is your role. That's your responsibility. Being honest, being open, bringing yourself back into that interaction. It's God who brings about the surprise, the shaping influence. Think about some of our favorite verses from Ephesians chapter 3. Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know. But I pray that you will be able to know that love. Then you can be filled with the fullness of God. We've got to stop trying to make ourselves complete in other people and other things. Other people and other things are never going to fill that void. Then you can be filled with the fullness of God. With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. Meaning, this is a really important thought. What do we do? Recognize where God is at work within you. Think about this. One of the things is receiving the love of Jesus. Receiving the love of Jesus. In the New Testament, we have some really beautiful glimpse, perspective into the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. You see, God the Father speak audibly, but other people could hear about His favor and His love for Jesus. Jesus received God's love. I watch some people grimace at the thought of receiving God's love for them. Oh, that's selfish. No. The Word says you should receive God's love for you. Every day, every moment. Why don't you say out loud, I receive your love for me, God. Think about Jesus and Jesus' love for you, the way that Jesus loved you. Say it out. Jesus, I receive your love for me. When you receive that God loves you, it opens you up to that moment by moment, the small welcoming the kingdom of God in your life, in your thinking, in your attitudes. It brings a peace, a joy. It changes your life, a life of goodness. That's what the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17 says it's about. Receiving that love of God. And then my spirit is awakened. My spiritual ability to perceive spiritual things is awakened. And then I have a chance to recognize where God is at work inside me. And to stop beating myself up, listening to negative self-talk, listening to the voice of accusations of others who have twisted and perverted, just because somebody has said something about you doesn't make it true. What does God say? And when I'm responding to God, when I'm realizing that the kingdom of God is in the moment, I'm actually following the example of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Frequently, he spent time alone in prayer, interacting with God. We see in his actions and his words that he received love from Father God. We see Jesus expected some surprising results from the kingdom of God, from small beginnings, from an interaction with Mary of Magdalene, of Peter and James and John. Jesus expected surprising results because it was about the kingdom of God, not about the person. Right. One of the things that helps us, has helped me, let go of emotions and reactions that is petty and selfish, is the truth that it's not about me. This life, it's about God. It's about the kingdom of God. Look what Jesus endured on my behalf. This week I've been reading through Hebrews, and Jesus suffered much. That's why interacting with him is so meaningful. Jesus knew suffering. So recognize where God is at work within you. Second, what should we do? Respond faithfully. Trust God. Obey God's guidance. What happens when we welcome the Holy Spirit, when we recognize the kingdom of God in small moments, is that we're refreshed. We're changed. And then we become more patient, more compassionate. It literally shapes who we are. And if we're doing this a lot, it then changes how other people react to us. Because we are different in that moment. If we're going to receive the love of Jesus, it should press out selfishness, me first, me most, pride, lust. It should press out insecurity, negative self-talk. When you are overwhelmed by those things, take in a whole lot more of Jesus' love for you and press the other stuff out. This Jesus thing, it's an inside-out thing. The kingdom of God is like this little mustard seed that grows into the biggest bush in the garden. And what happens as a result of this is that we're happy. We are experiencing joy. We are experiencing things that are beyond, engage our emotions, but are not just human emotions. It's a spiritual state of being. Our spiritual state of being is actually changed because we've interacted with God, who's not limited by this broken world, who will one day completely change this broken world. When that happens, we are changed. When we slow down life, it's a very normal human thing to allow our brokenness or our desires for more to cause us to live life too fast, too hard, overscheduled, and crowd out the Holy Spirit. When we learn to slow down, we give our spirits a chance to interact with the Holy Spirit. Are you cultivating peace and joy? How we spend our time, how we spend our money, will affect whether or not we can cultivate peace and joy. God's peace and joy, God who gives you, not talking about faking your emotions and working harder to present those emotions. I'm talking about receiving something from God that changes you, that is beyond you, that God will be faithful to complete, the God who can do more than you can imagine, more than you might think, looking at a tiny mustard seed that can produce a 20-foot tall bush. God can do something inside you that you wouldn't even believe. That's the opposite of negative self-talk, things other people have said. God can do something inside of you that is surprising. And then it brings about a bigger change in your world because you become a part of this kingdom that, like a tree, gives room for other people, for more life, changes what you bring to other people, and makes you a part of the kingdom of God that is life-giving, that is life-sharing, that is life-enabling, that is life-protecting, a Jesus movement. There is a Jesus movement happening in the world today. There is a Jesus movement happening in the world today. God is at work in this place and inside you and wherever you go. And you can participate in the Jesus movement. And you are. You are. This past year, Rebecca and I have heard more stories about you sharing Jesus with other people inviting people to Jesus who you've never invited before, and inviting people to church. We've heard more stories of that than any other year of this church history. You are a part of this Jesus movement. God is at work in you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your words. Thank you for this surprising analogy. Thank you that your kingdom will outgrow our expectations, that you can help us to recognize where you were at work in us. You can help us respond. You can help us represent. Thank you, God, that you bring healing. You bring strength. That you want to pour love into us. That this week, as we read these parables in Mark 4, that we can receive the love of Jesus and have our own evaluation, our own expectations expanded. Thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Grace and peace to you. Have a great week.